Hello, Ben. You've now been leader of Tunbridge Wells Borough Council for 4 months.
A whole 4 months.
So how's it been? Has it been as you expected?
I'm enjoying it. I've enjoyed getting out and speaking to the local community as much as possible. Our first challenge as administration has been safeguarding the council's finances. As your listeners will know, we've inherited a deficit of nearly £1 million that needs addressing. And if we don't address it pretty soon, it's going to grow into £5.1 million in the next 5 years.
So is that a cumulative amount of loss in 5 years? So it's sort of £1 million a year?
No, it's £1 million this year. It's 2.6 the following years, 2.8, 3.1, 3.6, and then it goes to 5.1. So it's every year the deficit is getting bigger and bigger unless we deal with it.
And is that because council tax revenues can only grow by 2% a year because of what the central government legislation says, unless there's a referendum? And presumably your costs are going up by more.
I think it's a factor of lots of things. We've had 10 years of austerity. We've had the pandemic, which has seen our income shrink to very little. Inflation is not helping the situation. And we're restrained by what we can raise in terms of council tax. And historically as well, I know the previous administration have not done what they should have done. So it's been left to the borough partnership to take decisive and urgent action on the deficits.
Well, I have spoken to the Conservative former leader of the council, and he insists that he did leave the finances in a good shape. Obviously, the current impact of inflation is bound to affect the council, but he says there was money in the bank. The council isn't in debt. It has actually reserves.
The council has got reserves. The plan of the Conservatives for this financial year was to plug the deficit with reserves. But if you do that year on year on those previous figures I mentioned, at some point you are going to go below the safe limit for reserves, which means that if there was another emergency, there would be no money. So it is unsustainable. So it's been left to us to take the urgent and decisive action that we've had to take through our in-year budget review.
So you had a big meeting of the council, the leading members of the council, the cabinet, last week. Did you make progress in bringing this deficit down from this projected 1 million deficit for this year?
We are hoping to raise extra money on what was expected to be raised between now and April to try and reduce that near £1 million deficit. There are a number of charges that we have had to put up.
So it's the car parking is going up quite considerably, charges going up 25%?
Probably less than that, but car parking charges had not been put up by the previous administrations for the last 5 years. So in terms of what we're proposing, it's very much less than what would have happened if you'd put it up in line with inflation for the last 5 years.
As part of those original proposals, there was also a plan to end short-term free parking in one car park in Southborough and I think a couple in Paddock Wood. Now, there's quite a lot of opposition to that, wasn't there? Were you surprised about that?
There was opposition to ending, in effect, what is subsidised parking. There's no such thing as free parking. We all pay for it as local residents. And when you've got a deficit, it's about making choices. And we felt that period of subsidised parking had to stop. There's been a bit of a protest against it. We've listened to people's concerns, and we're now going to keep the period as it is at the moment and talk to those two councils about the long-term financing of that subsidised parking. Because one thing's clear, with a deficit, the borough council can't afford it.
But on the other hand, it's probably not going to bring much revenue in. I live in Southborough, and essentially what happens when you charge for that car park is that some people just don't stop in Southborough, and there are quite a few fairly marginal small businesses in Southborough. The other thing that happens is some people just park in residential roads, often very dangerously. So for a very small amount of revenue, is it really the right thing to do to try and charge?
I think the right thing to do, Martin, is that we have to protect council services. What's been lost in this debate about parking is we have got more money going out than is coming in. And if we want to protect council services that residents tell us they value, then we have to do something about it. And I've got two choices. One is to raise charges, or the other one is a more unpalatable solution, which is to cut back on all services that we do by choice rather than those that we have to do by law.
But people in Southborough say that you're not really going to make much money. You're just going to put businesses at the margin out of business and end up then getting less in rates.
Well, I don't necessarily subscribe to the view that there's a direct link between parking charges and shops closing. I think it's much more complex than that. And, you know, our historical data in the borough says that parking doesn't really have an effect on the amount of people who come and shop. I think the much bigger attraction and pull to Tunbridge Wells is the quality of shops that we have for people to come and visit.
But should you be generalising to Southborough and Paddock Wood from Tunbridge Wells, where, you know, the spend is probably bigger for that trip and therefore the car parking is much less significant? And also the alternatives in the middle of Tunbridge Wells, you know, you've either got to walk a very long way for free parking or use one of the car parks, whereas in Southborough, as I say, you could use a residential road and clog it up. And that's what people did last time there was no free parking.
We've looked at it. We've listened to both Southborough Town Council and Paddock Wood Town Council. They have come up with some other issues that perhaps we hadn't appreciated at the start of our process when we were trying to do this as an emergency, because, as you know, those deficits are getting bigger and bigger, and the longer we leave them, those figures are going to get bigger and bigger. So we've taken that on board. We, you know, the borough partnership is willing to do the right thing, and sometimes that means, you know, we'll listen and change our mind.
So you have listened, but the sting in the tail is that you're now going to talk to the parish councils, the town councils, about them taking over the car parks. I mean, Southborough's already told me that that's just never going to happen, because they're already effectively trying to run a Kent County Council project that was to give Southborough a community centre, which happens to run a massive deficit, and they just don't want to take on any more responsibilities.
Yeah, that's a view. I mean, We as a borough partnership will go and listen to their views as we discuss the long-term financing of that subsidised parking. We'll go with an open mind, we'll listen. At some point we're going to have to make a decision as to, you know, who foots the bill for this subsidised parking.
There are obviously other measures that you've been taking to try and get the council finances under control. What else have you been doing other than changing the car parking fees?
So we've had to bring up some prices in line with inflation. We've had to increase the costs of collecting the garden waste, the black bins, for example.
So obviously when you took on the job, it wasn't just about crisis management. You wanted to change Tunbridge Wells for the better. How far do you think you've got along the road of making the quality of life better for residents?
So the first one was understanding the state of the finances. We've got other priorities, as you know, carbon reduction, making more vibrant and safer towns and villages. So at the moment, we are working up on those plans. They're called cabinet member plans. And then cabinet will look at those and decide what the individual projects are in those strands to deliver for residents within the financial constraints that we've inherited.
And you mentioned the cabinet there. There has been some discussion that you made the cabinet bigger than it used to be. Some people said that's an unnecessary cost.
Okay, well, unlike what you see at national level, where people seem to be offered jobs based on who they are going to support in any given leadership contest, we decided as a borough partnership to actually identify our five priorities, called the Focus on Five, and then slot the right people to deliver those priorities. So I feel that we've done it the right way round. It's about outcomes, not about people's positions.
And you did lose the finance cabinet member quite early on. Why was that?
Just a disagreement on the way to deal with the parking charges.
So was he in favour of tougher increases or smaller increases in parking charges?
I think we realised that perhaps we should have consulted with people before introducing those parking charges, because it affected two town councils. Some wanted to plough ahead without, some wanted to. So that's where the disagreement fell, but it's probably not appropriate to discuss it. I've moved on.
And you have, and so who's now in charge of the finance position?
So Chris Hall, councillor for Broadwater, is our new cabinet member for finance and performance.
And what does he bring to the job?
He brings very good commercial experience in his day job, which he's already put into practice by having a look at where he thinks we can go with the next budget setting process for 2023-2024, which we've started already.
OK, Ben, thanks very much. Thanks for talking to West Kent Radio.
Thanks for having me on. Happy to come again.